All right, with that, our next speaker is Bobby Fletcher, and he will talk about an analysis of gardening interests among students participating in school gardens.
Good morning. That was kind of weak. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very good. It's good to be here. I've asked Pam to pass out one of the deliverables from this particular project. An extension we like to have, something at the end that we can share and replicate. And this is something that we developed, some best practices from this particular project. Would like to acknowledge Melissa Cater and Janet Fox. Melissa is in our program evaluation unit on campus, and Janet is associate director for the 4-H program in Louisiana. They did the lion's share of this work, so I want to make sure they get the appropriate acknowledgement. At the time that this was done, I was actually serving as state master gardener coordinator, so did have a direct connection to it. How many of you here, and based on the last questions from the last presenter, did a very nice job, by the way, actually coordinate a master gardener program? Raise your hand. Okay. Kind of give me an idea who's in the audience. We did this Learn and Serve grant, which was a $25,000 grant, working with schools throughout the state. Based on the presentations, most of you are aware of the gardening movement and how you can link school gardens to that curriculum, connecting it to traditional forms of schooling, a holistic, multidisciplinary, experiential learning approaches, as well as how do we connect what we do in a non-traditional way to what's being done in the classroom, and connecting using a garden as a school, as a tool, to connect to that curriculum. The other I'd like to make at this point is that in Louisiana, our 4-H program is in the school system. So it's a little bit different than most other states. Most states are more community club based. We do have project clubs, community clubs, school enrichment programs, but we are still in the school system. So that is a little bit different than most other states. So we're just trying to maximize that garden as a tool to connect to the curriculum. And why do we want to do this? Not just in Louisiana, but throughout the United States. We look at science scores, we look at math scores. Those are areas that we probably could enhance or improve the scores of our students. How do we use innovation in teaching in those areas of science and math? Overall student achievement or challenges to try to increase and enhance that. We look at behavior, what type of positive interaction with an adult are our students having? How can we enhance that with our programs such as 4-H through Cooperative Extension Service? So we felt that school gardens would be an excellent tool to try to connect the dots in these particular areas. In addition, I know in Louisiana and most coastal states, we look at limited contact with nature. We look at coastal erosion. We look at climate change. We look at sea level rise. All these things, we're connected some way, shape, or form. And this is a way a garden can be used as a tool to enhance that. You look at environmental attitudes. Kids in the central part of the United States may not be too concerned about coastal erosion and other issues, but it affects all of us. And then we look at how do we motivate and engage students, and we felt using a garden could connect that in an atypical learning environment. Get them out of the classroom, look at hands-on learning. It's definitely a way for them to go through that learning cycle and apply some of those content areas that they're taught in the classroom. In addition, we looked at the need and the goal, or goals, limited literature, looking at attitude when it comes to gardening and competence. The study was developed to determine if there's a connection between gardening experience and that constructive attitude toward gardening. And we were basically looking at perceived competence with this particular project. As I mentioned at the beginning, this was a grant, Louisiana 4-H Seeds for Service, a school garden program, $25,000 grant that we received. And interdisciplinary, sometimes I call that transdisciplinary approach to educate the youth and also to make a service connection to their community. So we look at the foundation of 4-H, service learning, get them more engaged and connected in their community while they're learning. And then, of course, partnership with the LSU Ag Center. At the time, I was coordinating the State Master Gardener Program. We do have 64 parishes. We're still waiting for the rest of you to change from counties to parishes. And we have about 2,000 active volunteer Master Gardener volunteers statewide. And we do use an online reporting system to capture the value of what they're doing. The description of the program, we looked at 10 schools and we targeted high poverty areas, reached almost 900 students. That was part of the grant to go into these areas. Also a way to enhance our reach and awareness in those areas as well. Some of you, most of you probably familiar with the Junior Master Gardener curriculum. That's Texas A&M AgriLife Extension actually coordinates that, in which covers science, horticulture, and environment, with some very good peer-reviewed lessons looking at those. We used to call them grade-level expectations. They're core competencies now, and Common Core curriculum that's used in a lot of states. And integrate in these areas that we talked about, science and math, also language arts, as well as social studies. We did do a pre and a post-test, utilizing a gardening attitude self-report questionnaire, basically probing their sense of competence related to planting, and caring for a garden. And then we gave them opportunities to determine what type of garden they wanted to incorporate at their school, and a three-point scale using not at all sure, somewhat sure, and very sure. We did collect the data from student participants, and we basically matched those pre-test, post-test design, and then completed those questionnaires. And we did have a 65% matching. Looking back at maybe a lessons learned throughout the process, probably would have done a better job in training those teachers on the front side on those matching those pre's and posts. We probably would have gotten a higher match or response rate than the 300 that we did achieve. Looking at the demographics, 52-48 males and females, the grade levels that we reached based on percentages, 6th through 8th grade, we call that middle school, elementary schools 29%, and then high school 25%. So we reached mostly 6th through 8th graders, but we did reach elementary and high school students as well. And demographics, 47% Caucasian, 41% African Americans. So we had, this is probably a little atypical when we look at the statewide what our 4-H program is, and that's really what we were trying to accomplish with the level that the schools that we targeted. Just a couple of the significant relationships, their attitude toward gardening. This was definitely a significant from the pre and the post, which was very interesting finding. And also it doesn't really matter what type of garden it was, whether it was a vegetable garden, herb garden, flower garden, home garden, school garden, community garden. And one of the questions was, does your family have a vegetable garden? So all these had significant correlations between attitudes toward gardens and experience. So it doesn't matter what type of garden you do in the school or in the community, that you can have an impact on their attitude toward gardening and experience. So basically, you can promote gardening of any time, from a container garden to vegetable garden to flower garden, in order to impart a positive attitude toward their gardening in the future. So I think that as an extension agent and or as a teacher or a volunteer in that school, depending on what their interest and background is, you can utilize any of those tools in the toolbox, and you can have an impact on their attitude. And again, schools play an important role in promoting gardening exercises. And from my experience of 25 years as being a 4-H agent, a county agent, area horticulture agent, in administrative positions as well, we just need to provide them tools they can use to complement what they're doing in the classroom and get those students outside and learning, how many kids probably use this to communicate, right? So this is a way that they can learn to have a positive relationship but also learn how to communicate amongst themselves as well as with adults and others in their communities. And that's a sidebar based on my experience. So it gives them, a school garden gives them an opportunity to work in a non-threatening outdoor environment. Just think about how many kids we work with in these areas that don't have positive relationships with adults. It can be an integral part to a classroom, to take that classroom outside, connect to any curriculum. It can enhance and improve student learning, learn about and become interested in gardening. Just look how many kids, look at obesity, look at achievement, all these opportunities that we can use our transdisciplinary outreach and research-based information to get them engaged. Can connect it to any subject. The possibilities are endless, just like the opportunities with any extension thing. How many hours in a day do we have, and how can we maximize the use of those well-trained volunteers to deliver that information? This is something that I was passing around. I'm not sure how far it's gotten around. Hopefully y'all can take a look at this. These were some, we call them school gardening best practices, that were developed as a deliverable this program. Who has those? Where are they? Okay, I see one back here. We actually did two volumes of this, so it's something that you can take away and utilize. And if anybody's interested, I can probably find a web link that I can send you this to take a look at. So I just brought a couple of examples. We in Extension like to have something we can put in our hands. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have. I think they are. I can provide that link and get that out to those that may be interested. If you give me your business card or whatever at the end, I do use. Y'all talked about social media. I do utilize Twitter and Facebook with my work. So if anybody's connected, it's definitely an easy way to connect. So, any other questions?
Thank you, Bobby.
Appreciate the opportunity to spend some time, and I'll be around the rest of the morning.
They started in the back, so they're working.